This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Big news for the Lumbee community in North Carolina. The Federal Department of the Interior has issued a memorandum that revises an earlier reading of the 1956 Lumbee Act, and that means that the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina can now apply to become officially federally recognized. The Lumbee people have been fighting for full federal status for decades. Keith Rashad is a University of North Carolina Chapel Hill professor who specializes in Indian law, and he is back on our program now. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Let's take us right to the headline. What would this mean, or what does this news mean for the Lumbee people of North Carolina?
Well, it means that they get to apply for federal recognition, that they get to go through the process. And most tribal nations in this country are already recognized and have been recognized through the historical processes, usually through a treaty, right? That is a statement of a government-to-government relationship with the tribal nation. Well, not all tribal groupings, because of the history, have necessarily had that opportunity. And so then in 1978, the federal government established a system to recognize tribal groupings that wanted to have this federal recognition. And the Lumbee, because of the previous solicitor opinion, were precluded from that. And now this basically just reverses that and says, yes, you can go through the process to apply for federal recognition.
So you talked about legislation, federal legislation in 1977 that says, all right, we need a process for those groups that haven't already been recognized. But I mentioned a 1956 Lumbee Act. That suggests that somebody knew the Lumbee were a group, right?
Well, yes. And there are people who can speak to the Lumbee condition more cogently than I can. But what I know about that act is that it essentially said, okay, we here as Congress recognize that you're a tribal grouping, but you get nothing in terms of what other federally recognized tribes get. You don't get the opportunity to apply for federal programs. You're not going to be treated in the same way as other tribal groupings. And we're basically just going to sort of acknowledge that you exist without establishing that government-to-government relationship. And that's what the Lumbee have really been looking for ever since, is to establish that government-to-government relationship and to be able to express their tribal sovereignty and tribal nationhood in a way that is recognized by the United States.
Now, the language that you used, obviously you're summarizing a complicated act back in 56, but that sounds pretty clear. The intention there is to say you are not going to be a tribe in the same way that others are in terms of federal recognition. That's the way it sounds to me. How is it that the Interior Department has just recently said that's not how we interpret it? What does that mean?
Well, essentially what the memorandum says is that this act does not preclude the Lumbee from engaging in the process of federal recognition, whereas previously the Interior had said this act says that you can't even go through that process. And so the act itself, to my knowledge, says you don't get any of the benefits of being a tribal nation. It doesn't say that we're never going to recognize you in the future. It doesn't say we refuse to ever deal with you ever again. It just says you're not getting anything right now. At a period in time in American history and federal Indian policy when the United States was trying to eliminate tribal nations.
So that's a law that goes way back, and it says we're not going to give it to you now, but it doesn't preclude. Then in 77, the federal government sets up a process.
It's 78, I'm sorry.
Forgive me. Okay, so yeah. 1970, late 70s. Mm-hmm. There's a new process. What is that process now, and what would happen if the Lumbee should decide to pursue this?
Well, essentially what happens is that you petition the powers that be at the Bureau of Indian Affairs for recognition, and you have to set up a big file to make your case. And there are seven criteria that you need to satisfy. And I don't have them all memorized offhand, but they're essentially a criteria that ask you to demonstrate that you have been considered yourself and have been recognized by others to a certain extent as a tribal nation from 1900 forward. And so then the idea is that if you can demonstrate that you have been a legitimate tribal nation from this point in time forward, then we will recognize you. Then you are legitimate. Then you deserve the acknowledgement of the federal government as a tribal government.
This becomes more tricky, particularly for groups in the East, where contact with Europeans was started earlier, just because of the ways in which assimilation worked and the ways in which moving people off the land worked. And I wonder how you can go back, if you're the Lumbee, for instance, how complicated is that? Or it may be more generally for Eastern bands to demonstrate that they have been a group and have been organized as such since 1900.
Well, it's difficult for anybody. And you're right, there are particular challenges here in the East. But it's difficult for anybody. And one of the reasons why it's particularly difficult is that at first blush, the acknowledgement rules, the seven criteria that you have to satisfy, would seem to make some sense, right? Show us that you're a legitimate tribal group and give us some evidence. And at first blush, sure, fine, you should be able to do that. But the problem is the history informs what happens here, right? In a way that one has to understand that for the most of the history of the United States has been trying to destroy or eliminate tribes and tribalism, sometimes a little more literally than others. But if you recognize that the entire process of the federal government at points in time has been to get rid of that tribal sovereignty, to eliminate tribes and tribalism, then you realize, well, you know, if there's this longstanding project to do this, the ability to cultivate and find what would satisfy the criteria, and what would satisfy the criteria to a standard that comes from the federal government in and of itself, right? It's a lot trickier than one would imagine.
Aggressive efforts to eliminate tribal constitution and tribal organization. But even in the absence of that, if you haven't been recognized for this all this time, you know, again, the idea of staying together as a group without this kind of federal recognition becomes tricky again, I guess.
Exactly. It's a catch-22, right? We're trying to make sure that you don't be a group for as long as possible. But then you have to prove that, yes, you have been a group ever since this point in history. And actually, the criteria used to be even more stringent. It got amended a few years ago to be from 1900 forward for three or four of the criteria, your tribal groups since 1900. Before that, it was from time immemorial.
Well,
so
hard to remember back that far.
Yeah,
time immemorial.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
My goodness. So, but also, what's in it then for the Lumbee? What do you get once you finally get recognition?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. There are a couple of ways that people think about it. One is, and I think this is maybe not necessarily the best way to think about it, but some people think about it in terms of, well, then I get access to federal monies and grants and things of that nature. I get an opportunity to engage with the Indian Health Service, perhaps engage with the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act to maybe build a casino, things of that kind of nature. And I think that causes a lot of the fear for a lot of folks, especially in Indian country, where the thought process is for many people that with more people available, the pie shrinks for everybody, that the we all get less if there are more Indians. But I think, again, that's a very narrow way to think about it. I think really the way to think about it is that what the Lumbee are looking for is to establish that government-to-government relationship, to get recognition of their tribal sovereignty so that they can engage with and express themselves as sovereigns. And so it's not just about gaming. It's not just about access to federal funds. There are things like many federal environmental statutes that treat tribes like states. And so then tribes get to set up their own environmental protections for their lands and territories. And to be able to do that is a very powerful expression of sovereignty. And you don't get that without federal recognition. And so the ability to express your sovereignty is what I think really at the heart of what the Lumbee are looking for.
How long a process could this be?
Decades. What the Lumbee really got with this opinion was the opportunity to spend a lot of money and take a lot of time and deal with a lot of frustration that may or may not give them the result they want. And so some of these recognition files have taken upwards of 30 years.
Well, Is there a way in which a future Interior Department could reverse this finding and in the middle of the process, 15 years in, say, oh, our mistake, you had no right to do this in the first place?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and let me ask you one last question about membership. It's one thing to be federally recognized as a group, but how do I as an individual get recognized as a Lumbee? Is that does the federal government care about that, or is that a question for the Lumbee?
Well, that's a complicated question is what it is. In some respects, it's sort of up to both. One of the criteria for federal recognition is that you have to have a governing document that explains what your membership criteria is, and so that the federal government takes a look at that when determining whether or not you should or should not be federally recognized. That being said, the Lumbee have the right to determine their own citizenry and who gets to be a citizen and how they become a citizen. So it's kind of a twofold process. And then you layer on top of that the fact that the federal government gets to decide in terms of how they dole out programs or grants or whatever, who's an Indian, right, on top of that. It's kind of a twofold thing.
Well, and I know I left you about 20 seconds for this one, but also think about this. I mean, France and England don't have to apply to the United States to have a government-to-government relationship. So this is already a fraught kind of relationship to ask permission to be treated like France and England, who don't have to ask you to be treated as a foreign government.
Very much so. And there is a very long history, and I teach a very interesting class about that if you'd like to take it sometime.
We'll have it on the air when we have time to bring you back. Keith Richotte, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keith Richotte's a professor specializing in Indian law at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Lumbee Tribal Government turned down our request for an interview, but we will continue to talk about this program. And just ahead, what happens when artists sit down and make portraits of one another? You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.